Welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. In the studio today, we have Brad Belcher and Chauncey Wallace with Day One Integrative Service. And welcome. Good to have you here today.
Hi. Thank you so much.
And we're going to talk about what you do and how people can reach you if they are in need of your services. So why don't we just start off with, what is it that you do?
Wonderful. Well, we are quite the integrative service. We have quite a bit of few options for you. We're grateful to be opening very soon here in Marion, Ohio. We have one 12-bedroom house just for women in recovery, mm-hmm. and it can be for any stage in which you're in. And the same goes for a large men's house. Actually, I'm going to turn it over to my administrator, Chauncey Wallace. He's actually a bit more prepared than I am today.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Brad. First, let me just thank Mr. Belcher here for the vision that he has for the healthcare services he wants to provide to the Marion and the surrounding communities. It's a wonderful opportunity for me, and I'm just glad that he asked me to be a part of his team. Just to frame this issue, for those of you out there who aren't familiar with healthcare, typically there are several levels associated, the highest of which is residential, where someone will come in for detox services, stay for residential services. Most of you have seen the movie 28 Days or something like that. Each healthcare provider is required to step an individual down to a lower level when they're completed their services. So from a residential, typically people are stepped down into an outpatient environment, whether that is intensive outpatient that meets several times a week or just outpatient itself that may meet once a week. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because presently we have a generation under siege right now. And the heroin epidemic that's been everyone has been confronted with has put a tremendous strain on the services that are offered in many communities, whether it's the court systems, whether it's the prison systems, whether it's the nursing homes. The demand is outweighing the supply. You know, so what we're finding is that a lot of communities, a lot of institutions are struggling to handle this flood of people who are coming in. Now, what's unique about what Day One Integrated Services is offering is that we find, now history has shown us that typically when someone leaves a residential level of care, for whatever reason, perhaps they go back to their old neighborhood or go back around friends they shouldn't be around, but they find that they don't stay the course, may relapse, and finding themselves cycling back into the system. What Mr. Belcher is proposing, what Day One Integrated Services is trying to accomplish, is we want to eliminate the gaps in service delivery. And what I mean by that, instead of someone just coming out of residential and going back to their own environment, we want to provide an environment that's safe and secure, and we're doing this with what we call recovery housing. Now, what makes ours unique from others is that our recovery housing is not just a flop house. You can't just come out and say, or because your parents don't want you to come home, or if you don't have a place to stay, that you can come to our facility. Our facility is going to be certified, meaning that it's going to be a structured environment that's going to have certain rules and policies that each individual is going to have to adhere to, because it's really about getting the individual to be responsible and accountable for their actions. So we have a recovery block, which comprises of about 13 homes, two of which are 16-bed facilities, one for men, one for women. And then we have four two-bedroom cottages. And the purpose of that is that we really want to collaborate with other institutions in the community, like Children's Services, for those women who have lost their kids. Typically, a lot of times, once they come out of recovery or come out of treatment, you know, the responsibility and the guilt associated with not being with their kids or having lost their kids drives them to want to put that in front of their recovery. So we want to have an environment where if a mother gets her child back, she can keep them in one of our houses. We're going to have a daycare sitter on the block. They can still attend the services, the groups, and the individual counseling that we're going to offer. And if they have a job, they can actually go to a job. So we're trying to provide a safe and secure environment, not just for women, but also for men. If you're coming out of a prison or an institution, and you may not have your GED, or you may have people who live in your neighborhood who are still about the same old thing. If they can come and stay at Day One Integrative Services, they can have an opportunity to get job learning skills, get their GED, again, be in a safe, secure environment where they can be open to the services that we're trying to offer, not just in terms of being responsible, but also in terms of the clinical services we offer as well. So what I'm suggesting is that at Day One, you can get your outpatient, you can get a safe home environment where you can get the opportunity to get your life together. And the whole concept behind Day One is that once you complete our program, from day one, you're ready to step back into the community. And that's the vision that Mr. Belcher has put forth. We're excited about the team that we're putting together to help us with this. And for most of individuals who haven't been exposed to this type of environment, I'm going to just clearly suggest it may not be for everyone. You know, if you're not really serious about getting your life together, if you have difficulties with structure, responsibility, and being accountable, we'll help you with that. But the choice is up to the individual. And we're going to provide a platform, an environment where they can begin that path to recovery.
Certainly. A list of your services from the website says support groups and community meetings, mental health day treatment, workforce development, recovery housing, peer support, substance use case management, counseling, medicated assisted treatment, substance use disorder programs. So there's a list of what you do. And I'd like to also read your mission statement, if you don't mind. Where did I find that? There it is. On the website, philosophy and mission says, our mission is to close the gaps, which is basically what you just said, in substance use treatment by providing an approach that focuses on the holistic wellness of the individual by establishing an environment for growth and healing in an integrative system of safe, sober housing, life skills development, and performance measurements. Our aim is to improve the long-term recovery of participants through collaboration with institutions, support groups, and the community to prevent isolating behaviors and remission. Success comes when individuals are able to go back to their family, friends, and loved ones as productive, positive members of their home, family, and community. And I basically just said what you what you said.
But much more eloquently. You know, but let me say this, Mike. You know, too often individuals don't have a healthy respect for the disease of addiction. And I'm here to tell you that I've been in this business for several decades now, and the disease of addiction is undefeated. No one has come to me and said, Chauncey, I've won. Mm-hmm. Okay? So one of the issues that we have is altering that belief that they have that they can beat this thing. Okay? So that is the issue that we're confronted with. And unfortunately, it's very rare that we catch lightning in a bottle, meaning that the first time someone comes into this process, they immediately decide or think that they have found a solution to it. And I'm saying this because of the impact that their behavior and their actions, the rippling effect that it has on the family.
Certainly.
You know, it's not just the individual that comes into us. This is a family disease. And anytime someone comes in, comes before me and they still have their family with them, mm-hmm. it is an amazing thing, because the people in the street know to get away from them. Families stay close and they catch the brunt of it.
Right.
Okay. And I often say that, you know, when you do something out here, you can always go to the church. But mm-hmm. once you do something inside the church, you've got to go.
Right.
You know, and a lot of these families, a lot of the individuals who are impacted by this disease don't understand that there are really two recoveries going on. The family is trying to recover from them, and they're trying to recover from the disease.
Certainly.
You know, so we really encourage, you know, family participation. We have to get them into the process, because it's important for them to understand what they're going through, and they need to know what to anticipate and what to expect on this road to recovery.
One thing that says throughout your website several times, this is the first step, A person stops when they're ready to stop.
Yeah, you know, there's two things that we come to realize that we can't do. One is that we can't measure someone's desire.
Right. You
know, we don't know how badly someone wants to do this. And the other thing that we can't do is we can't deny them their pain. If they want to go back out and do more field research, it's absolutely nothing we can do about it. But when they're ready, we're there.
Okay, so let's say that a person decides that they are wanting your services, that they are wanting the help that they should be getting. What's the first step? How do they go about, what do they do, or what do you do when they come to you, I should say, maybe?
Well, you know, it's funny that you said, what is the first step? And really, the first step is the one that they take, and that's that honest admission that they have a problem.
Right.
I can't emphasize to you how strong denial can be. I mean, the disease of addiction will convince someone to get rid of the best thing for them. Okay? And, you know, it takes a while for an individual to come to that realization that the problem is them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And once they make that honest admission, then they're ready to take that step forward and make a call or reach out to someone, because they've heard it again and again. But a lot of times, you know, the disease, like I said, is so powerful that they're so engrossed and caught up in it that the reality is not what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But once they do reach out to us, we welcome them with open arms. And I'll say this, that one of the things that has come about recently is medication-assisted treatment. You know, I'm talking about whether it's Vivitrol or Suboxone.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if you know the difference between the two.
I do not.
Okay, no. Well, Suboxone is considered to be I'm trying to think of the best name for it. Replacement therapy.
Okay.
Because you're replacing one narcotic with another.
All right.
Anyone that's addicted to heroin, in the old days they had methadone, which is a process that, you know, that's long, stays on it for years. With the Suboxone, once you take it, about, I don't know, within an hour after you take it, they feel as normal as you and I. They don't go through any withdrawal. They feel normal.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue is that even though they feel normal, they haven't done anything with the way they think.
All right.
Okay, and that's where the clinical piece comes in.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing about the Suboxone is that it is something they have to do daily. And because of that, it gives them an opportunity to take it orally. You do it daily, but it gives them an opportunity to barter with it. Okay, to get what they really want. You know, so a lot of people have taken issue with that. Our position is that if there's any tool in the toolbox that's going to help them, if we can help monitor that process, make sure that they are taking it as prescribed and the way it's designed to be used, it will help them in their recovery. Now, the Vivitrol is a shot that you take every 28 days, you know, and it's non-narcotic. And once you get the shot, if you do any heroin, you can't get high.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason why I advocate both, but more so the Vivitrol, is as I spoke before. You know, we have a lot of families who have to make that tough decision to tell their loved one that they're not welcome anymore.
Right.
Because they're starting to do things that's causing a lot of financial, emotional pain to the family. But in my humble opinion, there's no greater pain than a mother who has a child who is caught in the grip of this thing, and there's nothing she can do about it.
Right.
But what I find, if they once they realize that there is something that will prevent their child from getting high, what it does is it expedites the trust in the relationship, and it gives the family hope. And I say that to you because we don't know what's going to happen to the individual, you know, when they're going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that the family, we can deal with that issue immediately. You know, so I've had a lot of mothers to come to me and thank me for letting them know about this opportunity, mm-hmm. about some of the medicated assisted treatment that's available to them. You know, we're happy to work with individuals with the Suboxone. What we try to do is, what we would love to do is taper them off of it sooner and get them involved with the Vivitrol, if possible, if they're willing to do that. But each individual is different. You know, and the choice that they make in terms of what's best for them is the individual choice. You know, but again, our job is to present it to them and give them the opportunity to make that choice that's best for them and their families.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that this is very important that you're trying to keep the families together, that support is going to be very important in their recovery.
Mike, there's a lot of healing that has to go on.
Most certainly.
You know, and the truth of the matter is, a lot of times the families don't even find out about it until it's 2 or 3 years into the process. They may have thought that their loved one started 6 months ago, but it might have been 6 years ago when they finally are catching up. And I say this to you because these parents know that they instilled good values into their children.
Right.
And it's not that they're bad people, it's just that they make bad choices. And the truth of the matter is, the longer the individual stays on the path, the more and more they start compromising those values. Things they wouldn't conceive of doing the first 2 years of their use, year 4, 5, and 6, they're actually doing things that, you know, they know that, you know, and they wouldn't do normally. You know, so I go back to how people don't have a healthy respect for the disease of addiction. You know, it is a disease, and it's something that collectively, if we worked together and collaborate with the institutions in the community and work with this thing together, we can do something about it.
Certainly. Now, you talked mostly about addiction to different kinds of drugs, that sort of thing. What about alcohol? Do you get many folks coming with alcohol addiction?
You know, our culture here in America, I mean, alcohol is legal.
Right.
So I don't care who we are. We all have a third cousin removed or someone who's been impacted by this disease in one way or another. You know, and yes, we do treat alcoholism, you know, and over the years, you know, people have become numb to it. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. We're grateful for AA, you know, for the 12-step programs, NA, CA. You know, we welcome any A as long as it's not DOA.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, so, yes, we do serve that community as well. The only reason why you hear me talking so much about opiates is because, as I said before, we have a generation under siege. I'm talking about babies coming in. I'm talking about 18, 19, 20, male, female, all shapes and sizes, addicted to heroin.
Are you doing anything to educate folks in the community as well as working with the individuals to come to you? I don't know if my question makes sense.
No, it does make sense because, again, one of the things that we want, and it starts with the family. We have to educate the family and the people who are close to them. And like I said, we all have a third cousin removed or someone that's been impacted by this. Now, in the past, it's always been, mostly, a lot of families will keep quiet about it and won't speak on it. But it's become so prevalent in our society now that I have parents that are screaming out because they're clueless. I mean, they didn't raise their kids to put a needle in their arm and shoot up.
In most cases, that's true.
This is definitely true. Yeah. I mean, it's unheard of. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yes, we have to educate them because they need to see this. They, you know, like I tell the parents when they come in, strap yourself in. Because one of the jobs that we have is to alter that belief that even though we present as a hospital, and most families believe and most people believe that when you go in the hospital, when you come out, you're okay. That's not how this works.
Okay. No, I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, but they have that, you know, they have that belief. Oh, yeah, I'm bringing them to treatment. My child decided to go to treatment. It's a wonderful thing. When they come out, they're going to be okay. And then 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days later, they see him doing the same old thing and they're like totally, you know, perplexed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they slip back into that. Often it's getting back with the same peers that they were with before that's the problem often.
Yeah, so it's important to educate the family, the community, and anyone we come in contact with because, like I said before, it has a rippling effect. You can't just sit around and think it doesn't impact you. And then all of a sudden you find out about your cousin, your daughter, or someone in your family, and you can't figure out how. You know, and I'll just go and I'll say this, you know, people use for many different reasons. It could be because of peer pressure. It could be because something they didn't get or something that happened to them in their youth that they're trying to medicate, you know, or it could just be out of curiosity. You know, someone could just be curious. You know, it also could be because someone's had an injury and they got introduced to some type of...
Certainly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it can come about very innocently. It's not to say that everyone is doing this is out looking for this terrible thing. When they first start using, I'm sure it's probably fun to them.
And I don't believe there are any bad people. They just get into bad situations, like you said earlier, make bad choices.
Yeah, and again, I cannot underestimate or overemphasize how much peer pressure can be a part of that. You know, people want to fit in. They want to be recognized and identified. And until something like that happens, they might have felt that they were a part of something. You know, it's sad, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we all have things. We've all made bad decisions. We all fall in with some bad groups sometimes. And it's just that this happens to be, you know, an addiction, something that sometimes turns into an addiction, quite often turns into an addiction. Your staff, I have a list here of what kind of folks are on staff there. You have a psychiatrist. Boy, I'm going to have to get better glasses here. Let's see. Psychiatrist, certified physician assistant, registered nurses, licensed and independently licensed professional clinical counselors, licensed independently licensed social workers, licensed chemical dependency counselors. Where do you fall in that?
Well, being an administrator, you know, one of the challenges that I have is making sure that I'm monitoring the performance of each individual, identifying ways that we can improve it, making sure that they have the support and the tools that they need so they can provide the best possible care to the clients they serve. It's important that people understand that even though someone may have a drug addiction, there could be also some underlying mental health issues. We find that there's a lot of co-occurring going on, you know, where someone may have some depression going on or something like that. So it's important that, one, we get them stabilized initially on the substance use piece of it, and then we address those underlying issues that are going on, because, you know, maybe the individual was traumatized as a child or something happened to them and they haven't had a chance to process that. And anytime someone brushes up against those feelings, it brings that pain back, and they're associated with the individual, or they act out in ways that aren't healthy. So there's so many things that are going on that it's important that we have a diverse staff that's capable of addressing all the needs of the clients that we serve.
And Brad, you haven't said much, so I'm going to pick on you a little bit.
Sure.
What is your place there? What do you do?
Oh, well, I want to snag a little bit off of what Chauncey was talking about with some of our staff. What's exciting is that we've been able, right here in the Marion community, find qualified staff, some of them with long-term recovery themselves, who have battled this thing and found their way out, have found
That's
a way
valuable.
Of life,
mm-hmm.
yes, that works, and now want to work in this environment to show, hey, this is what I've done. You can do it too, mm-hmm. and you don't have to do it alone. That's what's exciting. That is so amazing, and we couldn't be happier with the staff that we have. We are already very proud of the staff that we have, and you know, my place is really just like it became a vision. It became an idea, many years in the making, and each month that passes, it seems to transform and better and more formulated and in place. When we explain what it is we're setting out to do, people are just really taken aback. They're just in awe, like, wow, this is so great. It's amazing. And it is. It is. For those who have walked these trenches, who have watched loved ones die, who have cradled addicted children in the hospital, the NICU, who have an entire family of alcohol and addiction, this is one of the most obvious things that is necessary locally and nationally. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful to be able to provide that here locally.
Yeah, I'm sure that people that have been through this are probably, you're all valuable, but some of the most valuable staff that you have are ones that have been through this because they can relate to it. They can relate to what these people are going through. I think that's very important.
100%.
If folks come to you and need housing, how does that work? Do you just say, here's a room? Are there qualifications?
Well, we go through an admission process. We do an assessment to see what their needs are. Again, one of the things that we want to ascertain is whether or not they have the desire, you know, to change their lives in a way that they're probably not used to. You have to understand that from where I sit as an administrator, the most difficult position I have are those individuals who are working with those people in the houses. Mm-hmm. And I say that not only because they're around them most of the time, but you have to understand we have 16 people in a house who are in 16 different levels of their recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, some may be in there who know that something's going on. They may not think they have a problem. They may not even think the drugs are their problem. You know, we'll have some in there who have gotten to come to the conclusion that, hey, this is a problem. We need to do something about it. You know, so we have 16 people at 16 different levels. And then we have 16 people who have 16 different versions of what home looks like. Okay. And one of the things that we're trying to instill in them is that as a community, they need to work together. And that means that they need to, you know, we're going to have a uniform approach that we take to it, but we're trying to instill in them those very simple things that make them understand that they still have value and they still may. And the fact that they're still here is because they have a purpose. And I know if what they've gone through to make it to our houses, I know if they have a purpose, it certainly isn't to do drugs.
Certainly.
Okay. So we have an assessment that we take. You know, we want to make sure that this is something that they want to do. It's an opportunity for freedom, you know, and we hope that they make the right decision.
And let me see. Where can we go from here?
Well, I mean, understand that Day One Integrative Service is introducing a different concept. You know, we're trying to provide a platform where they can have the safety and security that they need. As I mentioned before, we have a recovery campus or recovery block. You know, because we have 13 different houses on this block, you know, one of the things that we offer to support that is a grounds patrol. You know, we have people who are going to be monitoring the block because, I mean, we have to be real about this thing. People can get drugs in the prisons.
Oh, certainly.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah,
it's no, you know, so we got to make sure that, you know, even though someone may have the right, you know, idea and their heart want to do this, we understand that what the temptations and what the struggles can be with having the halo of addiction hanging over your head, you know. So we're going to support that effort the best way we can and try, as I said, to eliminate those gaps in service delivery so that from the day that they leave our program, they're ready to get their own apartment. They understand the importance of being responsible and accountable. They can make a positive contribution to society, and they can find a better way to live. They can get back those valued relationships with their families. But more importantly, they can get back that relationship with themselves. They have to learn to love themselves.
Well,
again,
certainly. That's the start right there, yes. And you've mentioned that you work with families. On that block, there is housing for whole families as well, not just for the individual.
That is true. Right? We have 2-bedroom homes and 3-bedroom homes. And you mentioned the community. Part of what we do, and I didn't mention this before, but you know, even in the houses, the residents formulate their own resident council. They have their own chairperson. They have their own vice chair and secretary. You know, they have group meetings. They vote on who is ready to move from stage one to stage two, who's ready to graduate. They work as a team collectively to support and help each other through the process. It's not something that we want to dictate, but we want them to be instrumental in the process. We want them to have a voice in the process, and we want them to take control of their lives. And we try to provide an environment for them to do just that. Now, of course, you know, they do these things in conjunction with the staff there, you know, mm-hmm. to help, you know, we have what we call peer support specialists. These are individuals who are in recovery, who have got years of sobriety under their belt, who, when asked, can share their lives experience and can help them walk through these difficult early days in their recovery process.
And you had mentioned also that you have daycare available if the families need to bring
other
children.
You know, and again, you know, if someone is doing the right thing, they're ready to move out of the 16-bed house and move into a cottage, and Children's Services has seen the progress they made and they want to let them have their child back, we will provide an environment where they can have their child there, they can be in a safe environment, they can either go to the groups or when the time is appropriate, start working, you know, and start making monthly phone bill payments or whatever it is it takes to make them responsible so they can prepare themselves to get out on their own and restart their lives over again.
Okay, it says on your website that Day One Integrative Services will provide medical, somatic services, including medical services, medication administration services, medication-assisted treatment, and the dispensing of medications in a substance use treatment program. Our holistic approach uses best practices standards throughout care coordination between our medical and clinical teams. Our clinical MAT program will specifically focus on engagement of recovery through daily dosing practices to ensure compliance and safety, with the goal of preparing those seeking an abstinence-based solution to commence an approved tapering process.
Yeah, I kind of touched on that a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm,
with
did.
Our MAT program, Medicated Assisted Treatment, we talk about daily dosing because if someone is on Suboxone, we want them to come, we will give them their dose, and as they're there receiving their clinical services, they can be assured that they're getting the proper amount of what they need to have and not placed in a situation where they have to make a decision as to whether or not, do I sell this, do I take two instead of one, mm-hmm. you know. So again, one of our objectives is to, you know, get them to understand that, yeah, we can offer you this tool in the toolbox to help you, but if you're not involved in the 12-step program, if you're not getting around people who can show you how to walk through each day without picking up the dope and getting your mind right,
right,
you know, then that in conjunction with the MAT, you know, we can begin a tapering process and get them to understand that they don't actually have to have that to go through each day without picking up dope. So, yeah.
You offer mental health day treatment. I'm going to read this again.
Okay, please.
And help you. And you can comment on it as we go if you like. An off-site partial hospitalization program is available for our dual diagnosed and Medicare clients after intensive treatment. In this level of care, clients attend treatment programming at our off-site PHP facility located at 264 South Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Clients attend treatment programming for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Breakfast and lunch is included, as well as transportation to and from the facility each day. Medication-assisted treatment, which you've been talking about, is offered at this location. Clients begin to reintegrate into family and social life while our team provides structured programming during the day. Estimated duration of this level of care is 4 to 6 weeks.
Would you like to touch on that a little bit?
Mike, I'm glad you brought it up. Again, we've been talking about drug addiction, and I did say that there's some individuals who are co-occurring, meaning that they have mental health challenges and substance use issues. But then there are individuals who just have mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. And we have a day program for those individuals who may have Medicaid. But we also have a partial hospitalization program that we do for those who have Medicare. And that's what we're talking about. It's a separate program from what we've been discussing before. This program meets Monday through Friday. It's for individuals who are dealing with mental health issues. It is a pretty intense program, but, you know, I'll say that individuals have Medicare. If you're under 65 and you have Medicare, it's because you have a disability.
Okay.
It's either mental or it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the things that we have found is that individuals who do have Medicare who are under 65, that population has been ostracized. And what I mean by that, more often than not, they're not living with their families, not because of their drug use, but because of their mental health. So their families have been redefined to be the caseworker, the payee, you know. So these individuals, because they've been ostracized, need an opportunity to come into an environment where they can get their mental health addressed, they can get their medications dealt with, they can actually come out and be a part of something each and every day. Our goal is to provide transportation for these individuals where we'll pick them up and bring them in and put them in an therapeutic environment that will address whatever mental health issues they may have and help them to understand that, you know, we feel their need to have the opportunity to address the issues that they've been inflicted with and that they've been wrestling with. And if there's anything that we can do to help in that respect, we're going to provide the programming for it.
And you had touched on this earlier, but again, on your website, support groups and engaging in the community with others practicing a program of recovery and a sober, healthy lifestyle has proven to be one of the most effective ways to decrease the chance of relapse. This also aids in reducing isolation and loneliness, which are a trigger for a return to using. Day One Integrated Services offers a safe, collaborative environment for 12-step meetings and spiritually based support groups while giving access to further treatment and resources. Given the opportunity to learn to trust, opens our clients to share ideas and inspire them to discover solutions to life struggles. This fosters a way of living that increases chances for long-term sobriety.
That is so true. Again, in addition to providing a foundation and teaching them life skills and to giving them a workforce development, you know, the recovery process doesn't begin until an individual actually gets into a 12-step program and start going around with individuals who can help them get through every day without picking up the dope. It's not a thing that when you finished our programming that, you know, you don't need the help and support. We want the individuals to continue to build and strengthen the relationships that they developed while they're in our programming and continue with that, because they can't keep what they have unless they give it away. They have to pass it on to the next individual that's coming along the way. You know, you can't keep it unless you give it away.
Makes sense.
Okay.
So, really, what one thing that we're doing here is substituting one group of peers for another group of peers that's more supportive. Would that be fair to say that?
It would be fair to say, you know, get rid of the old bad habits and get the new ones in.
Yes, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point about it is that they're not in this alone. They don't, you know, the disease of addiction, you heard me talk about, is bigger than them. And the truth is, they cannot do it by themselves.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you have a loving God that you're looking for, if you have the support group, if you have individuals that are helping you on the path, but no one has to do this by themselves. You know, and that's one of the cunning and powerful, baffling things about the disease of addiction. It will make you think that you can do this by yourself.
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm sure that, well, in almost all, if not all cases, yeah, you do need support group or people that are supporting you to help you through that.
Mike, I just want to say that we're built for relationships.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So again, you know, the sad secret about the disease of addiction is that it will make you isolate, go high, go in the dark corner and do what you're doing because you know in your heart that what you're doing is not right, but at the same time, you can't stop doing it. So we have to put some light on it. We need other people to support what we're trying to do at day one, because day one is not going to sit here and tell you that we're doing this alone. We need the collaboration of other institutions. We need to work with the judges. We need to work with the courts. We need to work with the people from Children's Services. We need to work together as a community to address this issue. No one can do this on their own.
Certainly. Do you get into the schools at all to do some education there?
We haven't. Again, our program is for adults.
Okay.
We started 18 and older. Again, I'm not against doing that, but that's not our target audience at this point.
Right. There are other groups that can
yes.
work on that.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you do best and stick with that. Yes, I understand that.
Well, it gets kind of sticky. We're providing homes. You know, and we don't want minors in the homes. I mean, it's a whole lot of stuff that can go on.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how long has Day One been around? When did it start? How did it start? Looks like you're the man to talk about that, Brad.
Well, so March 24th last year, I had been, for years in the community, I've always had a heart for the recovery community. And to keep it short, I tried to outsource it and get the community involved and other providers. And for a while, we collaborated together and tried to put something together. Unfortunately, those plans did not work out. And I sat there and I looked at the fruits of my labor. And what I realized was I didn't fail. I just had to look a little bit deeper and learn a little bit more. Just much like everybody else, we could all use an undertaking for education in this area. And I started calling around and meeting with people and talking with them. How can we do this ourselves? How can we close the gaps? How can we best, what is the best possible situation, the best possible approach we could put together ourselves to impact the individual in recovery? And through that process, Day One was born through best practice methods and through collaborating with real professionals and clinicians. This came to be, and I'm very grateful for Mr. Wallace. I'm grateful for my entire Day One staff currently, and we are actually hiring, so look for us. You can feel free to look up d1recovery.com. You'll find out a lot of information about us, the actual clinical staff, and the team that's being put together now and is ready. I'm going to go ahead and toot our own horn. So, you know, we heard a lot about insurances and things like that. The actual, like locally, for sober living, you're looking at about roughly between $400 and $550 to and up. And that's per bed. That's per bed. That's what you have currently.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go ahead and open up 24-hour round-the-clock service, a block patrol holding the people living on the block accountable, and monitored with a clinical team for $400 a bed. So we're really excited about that. We think Marion deserves it. Mm-hmm. We think the people in recovery deserve it. And at the end of the day, nobody really wants to live like this. And there are people in this community that want recovery, and they want it now. And the system is overloaded. The people that have been on the front lines for many years now throughout this entire epidemic, they're just overwhelmed. And they're busting at the seams, and we're here to help. We're here to work together.
That brings up another question. Is there any kind of financial aid available for folks that maybe aren't insured or they're needing help? Is there anything like that available?
We do have some space in our system for those who are unable to pay, but we have to limit some of those beds, unfortunately. Our structure to provide locally, you know, we've moved people from Toledo to come here and work, and we're so grateful to have them. It's difficult to find staff. And so there's many other things, but what we offer, we'll have some beds, set aside for people who are absolutely unable to pay, and we'll help help them guide them into actual.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you finish.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll have people help them along the way, get a job, and get services and such. But we can't do that for everyone.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that earlier I spoke of having our houses certified, meaning that we will have structure, we'll have policies and standards in place, you know, that will help them become more accountable and responsible. But what comes along with that, though, is places like the Adams Board, some of the drug courts have been provided with funds that will help in that respect. So once we get the certification, you know, people who don't have monies, there are funds out there available for them, and we're lining ourselves up so that we can address the needs of that population as well.
Okay. And we have a little bit less than a minute left. Let's have some contact information. How do people reach you? Where can you be found?
Okay. Our phone number is 740-914-5000. You can give us a call. Let us know what's going on, and we'll see what we can do to address what needs you have. As Mr. Belcher just mentioned, you can look at our website, which is D1, that's D as in David, D1recovery.com, where you can take a look at our website, and there's information on there on how you can contact us.
Okay. Well, thanks for being with us. And
you're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM.